Hi, I'm Lisa Gunther with Canadian Cattlemen, and I'm here today with Kelly Sidorek. We're going to discuss Kelly's column for Depth of Field for the May 2024 issue of the magazine. And it's really talking about sort of that agripreneur mindset. So Kelly, what does that mean? What is a business mindset?
Well, you know, I think that they're using a play on words to combine agriculture and entrepreneur, but really thinking that some of the pieces, as you're saying, from the business angle, are important for us to be considering in agriculture. It's not anything new, but, you know, maybe just a reminder that what are the elements of the business? You know, is there that strong shared vision? Is there a planning process where people are engaged and the communication models so that it's not just in one person's head? I think we're often guilty of that in agriculture, the senior generation. Okay, yeah, we have all these ideas and things, but they're in our head. And we need to make sure not only that we're sharing them with other members of our team, but also writing them down. And, you know, so the strategic end of it too is thinking, okay, this is what 2024 is going to look like. These are the factors that we're dealing with in our area. Certainly, it's no surprise that drought is one of them. So, you know, that's going to impact some of our planning, be it that we're, you know, reducing stocking rate numbers, you know, so those some of things to go on with our financial planning, but just, and then also thinking about the different roles and responsibilities and trying not to have people fitting into the same square peg, if you will.
Yeah. And in your column, you had a couple of women who really, I think, embodied that mindset. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. Well, the one, they're both from the Maritimes and, you know, they're more into the agri-processing. The one is, you know, with a healthy snack food company that really started, as many entrepreneurs do, with, you know, jeepers, she wanted something more to provide her own family. But from that, it really blossomed and grew. And she was strategic about, okay, well, we've got to figure out that longer range vision. We need to figure out different components like manufacturing capacity. And initially they were outsourcing that, but really trying to keep a social enterprise in mind where they were including a local community that maybe didn't have the same opportunities, but that's who was helping and supporting them in the manufacturing piece of it. And then it then expanded to another level where they actually took that under their own umbrella, if you will, and bought a building and developed their own manufacturing. So really a fabulous success story, but making sure that the planning was important and the visioning, but also really emphasized staying true to what their original intent was.
The other example you had was the family behind Keats Frutique, and I think it's actually a really great example of like succession planning, how to make that work, right, with the different enterprises.
So. Yeah, for sure. And so interesting too, and as does happen in our farming operations, the daughter wasn't initially thinking that she would come back and join that business that her dad had, but then he'd expanded into a winery and then ended up with another expansion, if I've got it correctly, which took him away to a different location. And so then she's like, well, do I want to be operating a winery? And one of the first things she realized was that she needed to learn about it. And she was very intentional about that from professional development and engaging the other people on the team as well. You know, suddenly she's coming in as the potential leader who needed to learn more, but also realizing the importance of how the handoff happened between her and her dad, because acknowledging, you know, like I was saying before, she was essentially going to be taking over the same role, but she adapted that with expanding into another agritourism type enterprise. So, you know, I think there's a takeaway there too, that not only from the entrepreneurial mindset, but also from the succession piece, you know, what other enterprises can we be pursuing, or are good niches in our area when we think about the competitive advantage?
We're kind of talking off camera a bit about different roles, like how to figure out how to have almost like have space so people can have different roles and learn the business that way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's also a matter, and I learned this idea from my mentor, David Irvine, but, you know, the idea that we've got to, as the children grow up and get older, there's an important piece of independence, but then we've got to come back and think of how can we do the interdependence piece of it. So, you know, when we're sitting around doing planning sessions at the table, you know, who is responsible for what? Mm-hmm. And having people have the autonomy to go with that. And so depending on the situations, you know, I mean, maybe there's a financial component that we have to be mindful of course, but figuring out how that can fit in.
Yeah, I do like to follow the royal family a little bit. And I often, unfortunately for them, everything is very public, or they're, although like who knows what's really going on sometimes, mm-hmm. right? But I think you can see there sort of like the disagreement over roles and not having roles.
Clarity.
Maybe not the roles that people want.
Sure. And as we also talked, you know, I think that can help if we have this real, I don't want to say more of a business mindset, but in a way I am saying that, you know, that's an important piece with the value of these operations that we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. Some of the practices might not be a whole lot different than they were 20 years ago, but the scale of everything certainly is. And right. So, you know, when we work with our professionals, our bankers, our lawyers, accountants, and I think that can help those relationships and hopefully be a two-way street too, for they have different tools that we can, you know, utilize in our operations and should be, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about a multi-generational operation, there's a lot of assets tied up in, I mean, that you have to know how to manage.
Right? Yes, like, yes, for sure. You know, and then I think another component can be that, you know, particularly they're feeling this in the grain industry now that they've come off some really strong, profitable years, but now things aren't at quite that level. So when we're thinking about being strategic and, okay, in 5 years, what can that look like? What should it look like? And thinking of those elements of it to be that it's not always, not everything's going to happen at a high level of income, for example.
Right. Yeah. Risk management, right? I mean, even right now with cattle prices so high, like it actually means that things are can be quite volatile. Right?
Very volatile. Yeah, for sure. So lots of interesting pieces. And I think, you know, I mean, even where we're sitting today, where they do focus on entrepreneurship and thinking about, you know, what your resources are and your customers and, you know, making sure you're intentional about spending that time. Of course, a busy season like spring, honestly, I don't think we do a lot of that then, but winter's a good time to work on it.
Yeah, we usually film these videos at Startup Lay Minister, which is actually quite appropriate. So thank you, Startup Lay Minister, for giving us the space.
So, awesome.
Great.
Thanks, Lisa.
Yeah, thank you.